So welcome, everyone, to this beautiful day, wherever you are, whatever the weather is. Inside, it can be and is simply beautiful. It's a blessed day. This is a blessed day for which we give great thanks to God, to the earth, to the Holy Spirit, to each other in supporting us in our spiritual quest, fulfillment, and transformation. So welcome to Yeshua's Blessing Call. And we will be proceeding on with the blessing in about 25 minutes. In the meantime, I have a message for you from Yeshua. And I see that we have a couple of people on the my queue. So I'm going to take our first callers, and then we'll just proceed from there. Hi, we've got someone from New Zealand here on the call, and I just opened up your line.
Thank you, Glenda. This is Helen, and I wanted to share with you what I do because the other listeners might be interested, based on Yeshua's teaching about the importance of sunrise and sunset. And because New Zealand is one of the first countries in the world to see the sunrise, mm-hmm. what I do at sunset is I stand in front of the sunset and I send my love into the sun and ask that all the people who see the sun as it rises wherever they are receive my love from that process.
Oh, how wonderful. How wonderful. And add your whatever you receive from the blessing into that. And send your blessings forward. That's a great thing to do. Oh, you're in such a beautiful place.
Thank you.
Such a beautiful place. You are so blessed. Well, thank you for speaking up, Helen. We always love hearing your just delightful accent. I'm going to open up a line for someone in area code 702, and you're on.
Hi, Glenda. This is Janet.
Hi.
Hi, my voice is kind of have a sore throat right now, but I wanted to, I don't know if you have an answer for this, but several months ago, I shared with you that I was getting these chills inside mm-hmm. every time I meditated or did the blessing. Mm-hmm. That went on for months, and now for 2 months, I'm getting these, like, tingling. I can't explain it. It's like, almost not like quite you're going to sleep, but just these little sparks going through my body of like electricity. And it happens only when I have the blessing or I'm meditating or contemplating.
I would suggest that your cells are waking up. You know, there's a famous quote from the Buddha that just about says it all. He's walking along a path one day, passing along his wisdom to someone, and that person said, "Are you a god?" And Buddha said, "No, I'm just awake."
That's really wonderful.
And I think that this is exactly what's happening to all of us, that we are waking up. And this is what the Spirit of God, the Holy Creator, the Holy Spirit, and Yeshua, that's all they want for us is to wake up. Because a lot of other agendas that people lay on or try to lay on us, implying that we need to change from being this to that, implies that we're bad. Something's wrong with us. We're sick. We're ill. We're depleted. We're whatever. We need to change. We need to alter the nature of our constitution. Yeshua's message, God's message, always has been: you were created in perfection. But slowly by slowly, you conformed to the patterns of the world, the conditions of the world. They were quite hypnotic, and you protected yourself from the stress also by slowly going to sleep. And what Yeshua did is he woke people up. This is what the blessing does, so it's filtering into the different cells of your body. Now, as it does that, Mara, it may actually be adjusting your metabolism, your hormone levels, and you may want to get some of these checked. I have had to do this. I have had different types of supplements through the years that I've taken to ensure that my hormones were just balanced out right, and I was having some issues in that, just a little physical imbalance issue, hydration, you know, nothing serious, but enough that it was bugging me. And finally I decided, you know, I'm going to go to a different doctor. And it's not that there was anything wrong with my other doctor. He's a splendid doctor. But people can become hypnotized to their diagnosis of you. We all can become hypnotized to one another. Sometimes we just need a new viewpoint. And I did that. I went to another doctor, and he said, well, let me just do a physical exam. And he said, you know, I want to do a little blood work here. He comes to find out my hormones, my metabolism has completely changed. And actually, it's changed for the better, and the supplements I was taking were interfering with the change. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It's interesting because I just went for a physical, and all my blood work came out just great. And the doctor took down every herb and vitamin I was taking. So I am handling it on that end, too, although it's just like little prickly electric things that go through me. And as I'm talking to you, it's happening.
It's just waking up.
Yeah, that's what
waking
I think.
But I do want to mention, in case I didn't make the story clear, because I think I didn't, in my first doctor, who's an excellent doctor, all of my blood work came back perfect. He says, well, you're in perfect health. And I said, there's something wrong. I really believe I'm in perfect health. I really agree with you on that, but there's something not copacetic here, because a person doesn't have these little issues I have. I said, you know, Bea, after all these years, if there's anyone who's not a hypochondriac, it's me. And there's something not a little there's just something a little off here. Well, the other doctor, who had a totally different viewpoint, ran different tests and found I need to be off of the supplements the first doctor was putting me on, because they're interfering with the changes my body's making.
Well, I thank you for that.
Sometimes we even doctors can believe so in their prescriptions, their diagnosis, that they can set up their test to be a self-affirming feedback. And we can do that to ourselves, create our own self-affirming feedback, and then we wonder, I wonder why things are prickling for me.
Uh-huh.
I wonder why I'm just feeling a little off. I know there's nothing wrong with my health. I actually feel good, but why, you know? And we need to actually just sometimes surrender to having a new blank slate where we can ask new questions.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. We have another caller from area code 727. And
hello,
you're on.
Hello, Glenda. It's Eve. How are you today?
Oh, hello, Eve. I'm doing great.
Well, I wasn't planning on asking a question, but as you were discussing doctors, et cetera, something just jumped into my mind that I wanted to share with you and the group. Back in February, I was minding my own business at a stoplight with my foot on the brake, and a lady rear-ended my car.
Mm.
So since that time, since I'm in the healing arts profession, I teach holistic health, I teach anatomy, I have been pretty much doing self-healing.
Huh?
And I had to go, it's taken me 3 months to find a doctor who will actually see me to treat my condition and not just be concerned about the whole PIP, insurance, that whole thing. So I find it interesting that our society is pretty much has a system. The system works against those of us who want to take responsibility for our health, because I can't find anybody to treat me. I have some, you know, rotated vertebrae. I'm very athletic, so these things have kind of impacted my activity level. So just from an energetic standpoint, would you say just continue doing the blessings and just continue with the self-healing, or do you have any other thoughts to share? And then how do I mute my call again so that I can listen to you?
Well, let's see. Everyone's telephone is different, but I will mute you. Don't worry.
Thank you. Okay.
Actually, I'll go ahead and mute you right now because there's a little static on your line, and then I'll give my response. Okay? Actually, Eve, continue the blessing by all means. It definitely will help because it wakes up the cells in your body to do their healing work. We don't always know exactly what they're going to find to do. Continue your self-healing because that affirms the mastery you're seeking over your life. And yes, you are right that the different agendas of formalized health do not support those of us who are taking on a more holistic approach to healing or wanting to take more responsibility for our own. And it's not because of any sinister reason, although in some cases I suppose there are some sinister control agendas, but you know, they don't filter down to affect most of us. What the real problem is that, again, the good old structure, organization, structure, pattern behavior, wants to interpret every situation as being identical and then come up with an identical solution. It makes it so much easier to issue out the diagnosis and the prescriptions and to get paid for doing it. And unfortunately, or no, I should say fortunately, we are each unique. We are snowflakes. And while I do always work with conventional doctors for their education, their wisdom, and their knowledge, I have to always remind myself that they don't know everything that needs to be brought into my personal healing and wellness formula. And so there's no point at which I can just drop my own responsibility. And I would highly recommend that every few months you just do a blank slate. I will go for a whole day without my vitamins. I'll go for a whole day without anything, and I will feel my body. And I'll let my body tell me what it wants. I will pull back to myself the things I need, the things my body wants. And then, as I learned in this particular situation, it really helped to get a second opinion, sometimes even within conventional medicine, because most of the doctors in conventional medicine are absolutely dedicated, loving, devoted people, but they're hypnotized by the system as well. And you just get a different opinion, and somebody's going to catch something that the other person missed. And this is how you can be creative, but also supportive of yourself and supportive of your own authority over your life. So, Eve, if I think of anything in particular, I'll be sure and write you, and I'm really glad to know that there's a possibility I might be able to help you. I'll give it some prayerful thought. And now I'm going to take a call from area code 653.
Hello?
Hello?
Glenda?
Yes.
Hey, it's Randy. I wasn't sure if you had checked me in. I just wanted to make a comment. I had got a bottle of summer on the first day of summer, and I just wanted to tell you how wonderful it smells.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's just, oh, I don't know why we this silly echo. Randy, have you said everything you needed to say?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and mute your line so I can talk. Thank you for that comment. Yes, summer is, it's really an exquisite fragrance. It's something that, and I'm so glad a man commented on it because it's something that the men will love. I wanted a little bit of sweetness for summer, but I didn't want it to be all floral, so I used amber and sandalwood and the nice woodsy sweetness that gives it an elegant softness with just enough citrus and floral to be fresh and clean for the season. So enjoy and let it inspire you. And I think that I will now move into the presentation that I was led to make. And I want to talk about, what I'm going to talk about really pertains to a couple of our callers and the questions that were asked, Eve and Janet, both, and the comments I made as well, and probably a lot of questions the rest of you have about the blessing and how you can use it to heal your life. And what I was led to speak to you about is the difference between change and transformation. There's actually a huge difference. And unfortunately, we miss, it's a subtle difference, but a huge one. And I want to talk about first about the difference between transformation and change. And I want to begin by just mentioning to you something that I'm sure you're already well aware of, and that is that we're up to our eyeballs in change. You know, people can only stand so much change until it becomes the source of stress. And within the changes that are happening, the rate of change can accelerate only to a certain point until we're about to pull our hair out, and we get to the point where we don't sleep, we don't meditate well, we get irritable with the people around us, and there's road rage, and there's impatience, and all of these little minor irritating dramas that are going on in the world. We have just pushed change to the limit. And at the same time, we're looking out at a world where we say, my gosh, what? How are we going to live with this unless we change something? So we're in a catch-22. We've already changed more than we can stand, and most of the changes we made didn't work, and we're sick of them. And we say, why did we do that? But if we don't change some more, we're going to feel terrible about the condition we're in. And I know from lots of letters I get, from lots of feedback I have, that that's exactly what most, if not all, people to some degree are suffering from. One of the central purposes of our last webinar, The Heart of Your Being, was to help people find this center of inner balance where change is irrelevant. Because it's not about time, it's not about space, it's not about the external world. And even to the degree that we need to focus on the external world, we could find a graceful, elegant pattern of how the world around us and our life evolves and passes through the seasons of our life. And it was, the course for those who actually did the work was a major de-stressor because it took them to the place where transformation can occur. So now let's talk about change and transformation. And I've kind of got to give you the short story now because we only have about 9 minutes left for me to talk today. But our next course is going to be built around finding your point of transformation, because that's what we all need. It's what the world needs. The United States does not need to change. It needs to transform. We don't need to change anymore. We need to transform. The world doesn't need to change. It needs to transform. And we've got to find our transformation point. So here, let me give you these little metaphors to deal with. I love the way our minds deal with metaphors better than sometimes words, because the images in a metaphor also relate to the child in our heart and the simplistic way in which the soul addresses life. I think we reach many more levels of our intelligence when we use metaphors. So I want to just to imagine for a minute a blank sheet of paper, and you've drawn a circle, and you've drawn a triangle, and you've drawn a square, all about the same size on that sheet of paper. And now you're going to make, we're just going to together make some decisions. We're going to decide, you know, I think I'll be that square. I think I'd like to have a square life. And no innuendos about what we used to call squares when I was young. It's just, we're looking to square. You know, I think I'll have a square life because squares are stable. Squares have 4 points. You know, that way I could have this little area for play, for work, private area, public area, that'll do just fine. And there's a center to it. You know, fine, I'll live a square life. After a while, it gets to be boring. But we find everybody around us is living a square life also. So we don't want to change. We don't want to leave them behind. But, oh, my gosh, can I take this any longer? No, I've got to change. And we look over there, we see, oh, there's this triangle. Now, that's elegant because it's still got a stable base on it, but it points upwards, which gives me the idea of achievement. I could have achievements in life. I could have achievements emotionally and spiritually. It points up. Oh, yes, I will become a triangle person. So we take courses in self-enlightenment and maybe some improvement courses in our business and creativity, and we become this full-fledged certified triangle person. The only problem is some of our friends and family are still back being square people, and they're resenting that we changed. And then we're having stress over having changed. And after a while, all of the glamour of being a triangle person begins to wear off because, well, it was nice, but it got boring too. And it didn't work as well as we thought it would. So we happened to go to a new church that day, and they're talking about how things go round and round, the seasons, and what comes round goes round, and the circle of life. We think, oh, you know, this is where I made my mistake. I needed to be a circle person. So we find out how to become a circle person. And we've changed for the third time. Now we're being a circle person, and we want to relate to other circle people. But there in our family and our friends and our community are all these square people and triangle people we left behind, and they're all mad at us for leaving, and they all have judgments against us, and they don't understand why we became a triangle person, and now we're a circle person. What in the dickens is going on? Will you slow down, please? Will you let me catch my breath and find out who you are? I don't even know who I am. You know, that kind of dialogue's going on. Okay, now, to get to the short form of the story, what do all these three shapes have in common? Well, I'll let you think about it yourself for just a few minutes. Well, actually, I can't give you a few minutes. We'll run over time. So I'm going to have to give you the answer. They're all two-dimensional. And you run out of space on a two-dimensional surface. You run out of experience. You run out of possibilities. Now, what if you could take that square and you turn it into a cube? Do you think you could stay much more interested and fulfilled in being a square person? Or if you did move on to be a triangle person, how do you turn a triangle into something more interesting? Well, you make a pyramid out of it. Then, wow, it's got many more dimensions. And then what do you do with the circles? Because you got bored with the circle, too. You turn it into a sphere. Oh, now, after you've experienced that, you realized you could have just picked one. Whichever one met your fancy, you could have been a circle person, a triangle person, or a square person. It really didn't matter. What really mattered is that you could become the whole person in any of those configurations. You see, it doesn't matter whether you're an Australian, a Frenchman, a German, an Englishman, an American, a Japanese, a Chinese, Taiwanese. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter your skin color. Doesn't matter your language. What matters is that you can get into this mode where you take all that you are and you begin to turn it into the transformation of yourself. And an interesting thing about the difference between change and transformation is that, let's say you're a triangle person. You go into transformation, you become a pyramid person. Well, that doesn't really put up a red flag for other triangle people. They don't think you've abandoned them. They just look at you and say, wow, you're really growing, aren't you? What are you doing? Or if you go from being a circle person to being a sphere person, they say, boy, something's really, really making your life better. You look so good. They're not threatened by it. You see, there's something awesome about transformation that doesn't make other people wrong. It doesn't make who you used to be wrong. It just takes who you are and carries it to the ultimate rightness. And I think this is what Yeshua brought to the earth. I don't think he came here to change things. I think he came here to transform things. I think he came to bring us into our transformation. And I know this is what the Holy Spirit does when it comes into you. Now, do you have to be fully transformed overnight? Of course not. Nobody is. I mean, it would just, to become fully transformed instantly, well, I can't say never has anybody done that. I mean, sure, as you say never, God will show you up. But typically, it's a process. And let's just say you're a circle person, okay? And I'm going to give you another metaphor. And the metaphor is a big, brand-new round balloon. And when it comes out of the factory, you'd think some factory worker has flattened it with an iron. It's so flat, it looks like this little flat piece of rubber with a spigot on the end. You've seen them when you take them out of the package, you unroll them, and they go just totally, totally flat. And you either pick them up, put your mouth to the little nozzle end or spigot end. I'm not sure what it's correctly called, but you know what I'm talking about. And you blow a little air in. Well, you know, it doesn't take very much air to go in to realize, to have a total change of perception. Because what went from a completely flat, two-dimensional object, now has little ripples in it. It's not blown up like a balloon, but they're little surface ripples, and you say, wow, there's something inside this. This isn't just a flat object. There's something here. And that in itself is an epiphany. If you use that metaphor for your life, let's say you've been going along and it's been on a flat plane. You have a blessing, maybe not that much fresh air goes into it, but just enough to wake it up. And you say, wow, you know what? I could expand this even more. And the fabulous thing about transformation versus change is it doesn't matter how far you've gone in the transformation process. You can always enjoy a bigger balloon. Transformation applies to everybody. It's an everybody thing, an everyday thing. You can always be more of who you are because it comes from the center of your being. There's always a starting place. And I think this is why Yeshua spoke with wise illumination to those who were ready. He spoke in parables to those who needed parables. He gave specific instructions to others who just needed that. He would tell in no uncertain terms the Pharisees to get out of the temple because maybe they needed a little bit of chastising. They needed a wake-up call. They needed to realize, hey, there are places where you do and don't do certain things. So he spoke to people in different ways. He addressed situations differently, but it was all designed to forward the transformation of everyone's life. And this is what the blessings do. They give you an access point for your transformation, whatever it needs to be, to whatever degree you're willing, ready, and able to receive. And the great thing about it is it will not produce these weird changes in you that go from like being a circle to a triangle to a square. It's just going to make you so much better, happier, feeling better at the end of the day. People will notice it in positive ways, and they'll say, wow, you really are doing better. You know, I like that you're doing that. And that gives you an opportunity to tell people, well, you know, I'm just receiving blessings from Yeshua. It's just the Holy Spirit. I'm just infilling myself a little more every day. And it allows me just to be who I am, but more of it. And all of the answers are provided that way. So So now that I've kind of given you these simple little metaphors to work with, I'd like you to think about it next week and allow these simple little metaphors to really, really empower your life and allow you to find and accept all that you are, because that's the great thing. The biggest difference between transformation and change is transformation begins with self-discovery and acceptance. Change begins with denial and judgment of some kind on some level. Oh, I can't stand this any longer. I've got to change this. This is not acceptable. Won't put up with it any longer. We've got to change this. Transformation begins with acceptance, but not acceptance with equal priority toward everything. It starts with blank slate acceptance of, well, this is the way it is. But then inside this is the way it is, it focuses upon the good things, the best things, the things you want to have more of, the things you want to accentuate, the things you want to empower. And little by little, the things that don't work, whether it's your health or some relationship or some absence of supply, it just kind of goes away, or the vacuum gets filled without ever having to judge it or deny it or pull away from it or reject it, without ever having to move into all of those negative emotions that are entrapping, actually. They're not freeing. Because you started with a blank slate, and then you focused on, what do I want to have? Oh, I want to have more of this. I want to have more of that. I want to have more of that. This is good. This is good. This is great. So this is what we're going to learn in our next course, how to do this, how to shift from our obsession with change to embrace the complete joy of transformation. And we're going to initiate that process with our blessing now. Those of you who are new, please remove your shoes and socks. Have your feet on the ground so that you can absorb the energy of our blessed Mother Earth. Have your head pointing upward so that you may be infilled with the wonderful forces of the universe conveyed to you through the power of gravity, and then open your heart because it can receive at all the highest frequencies of God, the Holy Spirit, and Yeshua. Now, I would like you to pray for 3 minutes. Pray the prayer of your exaltation. Pray the prayer of your desire. Pray the prayer of everything you would want for your life and how you would most perfectly hold your life. I will say an invocation to Yeshua. Then I and the blessing givers who would care to join me will begin conveying the energy of the Holy Spirit and the earth for 3 minutes. After that, I would like you to rest. Don't think, just rest for 7 minutes. And sometime later today, weather permitting, walk around barefoot. Just enjoy your fresh, free connection with the earth. Laugh. Be open. Receive. Just in the way of doing life. Smile. Express your joy. Express an affirmation about yourself. Okay, let us begin. Now, allow your attention to fall into your heart. Begin your prayer, and I will say my invocation to Yeshua. Dear Yeshua, thank you for being here with us that we may experience our own transformation according to the way God has created us to be, according to our own life goals, our own life expectations, according to our own readiness to receive, to be, to have, and to share with others, and to express our life as the love that we are. Thank you for stabilizing us and taking us away from our addiction to mindless change into the center of our being, where we can find quiet surrender with the grace of God and embark upon a transformation of such powerful, positive grace that we can be all that we are, experiencing healing, abundance, reunion with others, and all the good things of our life. Thank you for your love and for being with us in this moment. Amen. The conveyance of your blessing is complete. Now rest. Go lie down and be at peace without thought, without further perusal, even without prayer in the verbal sense. Just receive and allow the blessing to assimilate into your body, heart, soul, and being. Have a wonderful week and know that you're loved. God bless in all your ways. Until later from me. Bye-bye.